Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. We do so so that rather than wandering aimlessly through uncertain times, as the last commercial suggested, we instead know exactly what is going to happen over the next 20 to 25 years. I do not want you to be in the dark. I want you to know where man is headed and what it means to you. Instead of merely presenting the news, I'm going to do my best to explain why these things have happened and what they mean to you and me. Then during our second hour, we're going to do something that not one in a million people do. We're going to engage God on His terms, through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, by way of His covenant, a relationship which features five very specific conditions and offers five benefits. If you're an atheist, an agnostic, or know someone who just is coming to recognize that there's something not quite right with your religion, with their religion, this will be the best part of each day's program. Our phone number, if you'd like to ask a question, if you'd like to criticize or affirm something that you hear said on this program, is 877-300-7645. And for those just interested in having access to the evidence that has led to the conclusions that you're going to hear on this program, I would invite you to read yadaya.com. YadaYah.com, or IntroToGod.org. Everything that I have written, all 15 books, are free. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Now on to the news. Yesterday, as we were examining the news, the lead story was a congressman, for the first time, having the courage to say that the Afghan war was like Vietnam, that there was no hope, that it had been a colossal mistake, that there was no reason to have to continue to sign letters to families who had lost loved ones, of which one congressman had already signed 10,400. There was no reason to continue to squander hundreds of billions of dollars, making a bad situation worse, that there was no hope in nation building, particularly in that part of the world, that the Afghan government was hopelessly corrupt, and that rather than continuing to wallow there in agony, continuing to make a bad situation worse, we ought to bring our troops home immediately. And interestingly, too, this was not just from one side of the aisle, but from both. The last comment we were reading yesterday as we were considering this story was from a Congressman Rohrabacher who had some firsthand experience in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, he even then was doing something he ought not have done, but he was fighting alongside the Mujahideen in Afghanistan during the 1980s when the Mujahideen were being deployed by the United States to create a civil war in Afghanistan and to oppose the Soviet-backed government. The reason I said we ought not have done that is twofold. One is it did lead to a civil war where over a million Afghanis died. That blood is on our hands. You know, when Jimmy Carter, in his holier-than-thou attitude, said the United States will not be sending an Olympic team to Moscow at this time because the Russians are engaged in a war in Afghanistan and we will not support them as a result. Well, that war in Afghanistan, Jimmy Carter had started. He knew that he had started. He and Zbigniew Brzezinski had plotted a plan whereby they decided that if we work through the Pakistan government and fund the Taliban and their partner Al-Qaeda, and if we arm them through the Pakistani government, that we could destabilize the Soviet Union and that that would be a worthy thing for us to do in Afghanistan. Well, as I said, there were two problems with that. The first of those is that over a million Afghanis lost their lives because of the civil war that we started. And second, we made our next enemy. In that process, America created the very enemy that we are fighting today. which is something that America does with reckless abandon. Now, you may think that it is inappropriate for me as an American to be criticizing America's behavior, particularly its military behavior. In future programs, we'll talk about its economic behavior, its political behavior, and the preponderance of its religious behavior. But the reason that I do this is because it is important that you know that you should not trust your government. You should know that they do many things which are colossally suicidal, as was the case of the invasion of Afghanistan, hunting an enemy that we ourselves had made. And that is what the congressman did not say, and that what he should have said is that this is an enemy that we created. What his statement conveys to those who are alert is that if you read anything about the Taliban circa the 1980s, when we were arming them, when we were deploying them, our access to the Taliban was through the Pakistani government, through their ISI, their version of our CIA. All the monies were channeled, all of the directions, all of the orders were channeled through the Pakistani government. So this notion today that our government has been telling the American people that Pakistan is an ally of the United States in its battle against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan is just like saying, Britain saying, you know, my enemy is the U.S. Marine Corps, so what I'm going to do is ally with the U.S. government to attack the U.S. Marines. It is absolutely foolish. And the very fact that it prevails amongst the preponderance of people and that the U.S. government continues to send billions of dollars a year of weaponry to Pakistan under this false notion that they are an ally tells you that the vast preponderance of Americans are either too apathetic to bother to care or they're too unaware of the evidence to be able to make a rational conclusion, or they know some of the facts, but they've just chosen not to think about them, and therefore exercising good judgment is not part of their makeup, no matter which way you look at it. It is the reason that we are in a disaster in Afghanistan. I would also like to share with you that I am not a Monday morning quarterback as it relates to Afghanistan. I began to speak out against the invasion of Afghanistan before we invaded Afghanistan. And I have been consistent telling people exactly what the Afghan invasion and the Iraqi invasion would lead to. And for all of those people who will tell you there was no way for us to know how this was going to turn out, that is not true. Now, I am not a prophet, but I know some really good prophets. Go by names of Yeshayahu, Daniel, Yirmiyahu, Hosha, Dod. For those who don't know those names, are Moshe, that is Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea. And by studying them, and then by having invested 10,000 hours into the study of Islam, and having personally met with Al-Qaeda immediately after 9/11, it was extraordinarily easy, with that information, to put together the pieces to tell America and the West precisely what was going to happen when we invaded Afghanistan, when we invaded Iraq. And I want to tell you that it didn't come to me as an easy endeavor. This investment of 10,000 hours of my time for no financial reward, because as a result of it, I have received well over 1,000 death threats. And yet, for the most part, after having done almost 3,000 hours of talk radio programs across the country, for the most part, America simply yawned. Continuing with that same story that we ended the first half of our program with yesterday, and should you wish to challenge anything that I'm saying or question it, 877-300-7645. This is Shattering Myths, and I am Yatta, your host. That same article went on to say that the Pentagon has proposed a new military strategy that calls for a shift in focus to the Asia-Pacific region. Now, while I cannot compare that stupidity to the stupidity of invading Afghanistan and Iraq. I am here to tell you that it is absolutely asinine. We are telling the American people that what we want to do is we want to deploy America's military resources in the Pacific because we now think our enemy is China. That is what the Defense Department is telling us. I'm here to tell you, China is not America's enemy. China is not going to attack America. China is not going to invade America. China owns America. We gave America to China. When we decided that we were going to engage in deficit spending and what I call economic pedophilia, where we indulge ourselves and pass the burden on to our own children. When we decided that we would do that to the tune of $15 trillion, when we decided we were going to burden and tax business to the point where goods could no longer be made here and that we would have to import things and that we would be an exporter of raw materials and an importer of finished goods. When we made that decision, governmentally, politically, economically, in America, we gave America to the Chinese. They own us. And so the notion that the Chinese are going to invade America or they're America's enemy, when in fact they own us, is absolutely craziness. It shows no understanding for the world as it currently exists. Plus, if your goal now is to anger China, as opposed to realize that China is your banker, then what's going to happen if China decides that they don't want to buy treasuries at the next treasury auction? What happens is that $15 trillion of current debt on the U.S. books, rather than having a 1% interest rate, will go to a 5% interest rate. And then if China does it again, it will go to a 7 and then a 10% interest rate. And when we're paying 10% interest on $15 trillion worth of debt, you can add another $1.5 trillion of debt annually to the $1.5 trillion debt that we're adding just by overspending. Well, we've run to the end of our first segment of Shattering Myths this morning. We're going to return and talk about the U.S. defense budget after the break. Please stay with us and call us, 877-300-7645. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm sorry. The late night last night, I had the opportunity of picking up my son for a visit at the airport, and so we enjoyed one another's company until the wee hours last night. Welcome to Shattering Myths nonetheless. My name is Yada. We were in the midst of discussing the failures of America and Afghanistan and had migrated to the next failure of America, which is positioning our military so that China recognizes that it is perceived to be America's enemy, which I shared with you is a absolutely suicidal move because the reality is that China owns America and they control America now because they are the largest holder of U.S. treasuries. This particular article went on to say that the Defense Department unveiled a budget that would cut defense spending for the first time in nearly a decade while supporting this new strategy. Well, now that we know that the new strategy has failed, let me share something with you that should be chilling. If you can combine our military budget with our spying budget, which are essentially the same thing, when you combine those two budgets, America outspends the rest of the world combined. We aren't just the most prolific investor in equipment that is designed to maim, kill, and destroy. We outspend the rest of the world combined on our military and our intelligence budgets. Now, there's something extraordinarily inappropriate when 3 million people on a planet of 7 billion people outspend the rest of the world combined militaristically. That is not a good thing. That is a bad thing. When you have such a costly undertaking, the tendency is to use it which is how we got into this mess in Afghanistan, how we got into the mess in Iraq, how we got into the mess in Vietnam. And second, rather than protecting American freedoms, this enormously overinvestment in our military is destroying American freedom. And this is for two reasons. The first of those is that we're spending, apart from supporting the wars, but just in the military budget, $650 billion a year, plus another $100-plus billion a year in what we call intelligence, let's call it spying. That money is bankrupting America. As we build up debt, as we become owned by foreign entities, for example, Saudi Arabia and China, we become less free. We have burdened our children with $15 trillion in debt as a large part because of our overindulgence in our military. Rather than protecting our children's freedom with our military, we have constrained their freedom because we have burdened them with this debt to support this monstrous enterprise. The second reason is that the least free institution in America is the U.S. military. There is no free will in the U.S. military. It is a command and control structure. And so the notion that the least free institution in America is the institution that is liberating us is a myth that needs to be shattered. We will, in future programs, talk about the epidemic of sexual harassment in the U.S. military, where it appears that up to 80% of women who are in the U.S. military are sexually abused, and where one in three American women in the U.S. military are physically assaulted by other U.S. soldiers. And it puts them in this horrible position. That's the reason I'm mentioning this now, because they are not able to do anything about it. Their supervisors, their commanders, the next in line, tell them to shut up because they don't want to have them speak against those who assaulted them, and they can't leave. It's not like if you're assaulted in a private business that you only can quit that business, but you can get the person who assaulted you fired, and your direct boss will immediately address the problem. In the U.S. military, when you join it, you give up your freedom rather than gain freedom. When we come back, we're going to continue our analysis of the U.S. defense budget and what it means to us. This is Shattering Myths, 877-300-7645. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. I am your host, Yada, and should you wish to call this program, we would encourage you to do so at 877-300-7645. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warned that his spending plan, he warned that his spending plan, which would cancel some weapons programs and cut back on the size of the military, was a, in quotes, finely tuned and finely balanced budget, and that changes by Congress would make it difficult to carry out the new strategy. Well, we're going to talk about what some of those finely balanced changes were. But understand, America would be more secure, America would be more free, if the change to the military budget was to reduce its size by 90%. If we were to slash America's military spending from $650 billion to $65 billion, we would be more free because there would be less debt. And there isn't an enemy anywhere on the horizon within the next more than 20 years that has any interest in invading America, that could invade America, that would invade America. There is no risk that we would lose our freedom in America in doing so, and we would unburden our children tremendously. Beyond that, as we talked at the end of the last break, the new strategy, which is to focus our attention on China, is not only foolish in the sense that China owns America. It would be suicidal for China to invade America, since it is not only owns America, but it is its largest market. But beyond that, I've read the playbook for the next 25 years, and I'm going to tell you that America's next enemy is America's most recent enemy. Muslims are going to attack American cities. They're going to lay at least two or more to waste. They're going to use either very crude fission bombs or they're going to use dirty bombs, and they're going to deploy them in America's cities. I personally think that they're going to sail them into America's cities. And they're going to make those cities uninhabitable, and it is going to destroy what little is left of freedoms and economic prosperity in America, the consequence of that. And then the Third World War will follow, whereby these same Islamic nations are going to invade Israel en masse. And as a result of that, the superpowers of the world are going to respond by using their nuclear arsenals, and ultimately half the world's population is going to die. There is absolutely nothing that positioning our military might against China is going to do that is going to dissuade any of that from happening. And as we move forward in the show and I share with you what Yahweh said through his prophets, you will come to understand that is where we're headed, and that is why our military is a colossal waste of time, and why it focusing on a new enemy when it doesn't even know its current enemy is a tragic mistake. Well, one of the things that was interesting about his finely tuned budget that could not be changed without making it difficult to carry out the new strategy, Democratic Representative Betty McCollum sought to cut $188 million in spending. Now, $188 million is a lot of money. She, a Democrat, sought to cut $188 million in spending on, guess what? Something essential to our new strategy, which is to oppose China. We spend $188 million a year on military bands. The military has about 5,000 musicians in 140 different bands. How about zero? $188 million, you could wipe out that entire cost. Now, what's the purpose of the band? To whip up patriotism? You know, why not just do the right thing? Wouldn't that make people support what you're doing? Opponents of the measure, said the band members. There was opponents of that measure. In fact, the measure failed when it was brought up as an amendment. Opponents of the measure said band members undergo basic training as soldiers. Okay, those tubas are heavy. And, man, I guess a flute can be a lethal weapon when wielded by someone who has undergone basic training. So they've undergone basic training of soldiers, and most of the funding is for salaries. No kidding, Sherlock. So the majority of the reduction would come out of the military's personnel accounts. The measure failed in a voice vote, but still has to undergo a final roll call vote. Here's the reality. Those who are empowered politically want the military to be seen as this wonderful thing, and there's just nothing better than patriotic music for having people fall in line and pledge their allegiance to it without thinking. And what we have done in America with gun control against our Constitution is we have made certain that the people are not armed, but that the nation is armed to the teeth, so that no one can challenge the country, no matter how immorally or foolishly it acts. And there is nothing that seems to stir the patriotic juices, which are really no different than religious faith, than military bans. McCollum and Representative Jack Kingston also are pushing an amendment to block another $72 million in military spending on sporting events. The spending is part of the Pentagon's marketing effort to recruit new service members for the all-volunteer force. An amendment is awaiting final vote. This mixture of Americana and patriotism at sporting events is also a very bad thing. If we were to end it immediately, we would be better off. There should be no correlation between playing a baseball game, a football game, or a golf tournament, and the promotion of America's military. None. And when we can compartmentalize aspects of life, and we come to understand that the military has to stand on its own, it either performs or it doesn't perform, and right now it is not performing. It has made bad situations worse in Afghanistan, bad situations worse in Iraq. It made bad situations worse in Vietnam. What we are doing is not working. We should not increase our spending. We should decrease it, and we should not promote it as if the military were a sport. As if you move from the football field to the trenches and the pillboxes of war. This is a horrible mistake. It's kind of like what the Romans did in their Colosseum, where they thought it would be a great idea to make entertainment of gladiators and entertainment of their conquests. And so they showed in the Colosseum military maneuvers where the victims who were now slaves of the countries that they had conquered were re-dramatized before the people's bloodlust to kill them. When you integrate your military and your patriotism into the fabric of a country, what you get is people who react by faith, who believe, but who no longer think. We have some time left in our first hour and in the remainder of this segment and in the next segment. And what I'd like to do is transition to a real failure of our military. Let's go over to Iraq. Car bombs in two towns south of Baghdad and in an Iraqi city of Najaf exploded, killing 20 people this week and mutilating another 80. Do you know that prior to the time that America invaded Iraq, there wasn't a terrorist act of this size even once every 4 or 5 years? I studied terrorist acts in Iraq prior to the American invasion. And on average, there were one or two a year, and they were typically in the range of 2 to 3 people were killed. America invades Iraq, and suicide bombings that killed 20 and injure 80 began to happen multiple times every day. And now they happen at least once every day, and often more often. Just recently, over 100 people were killed on one day with suicide bombings. We brought this to Iraq. 3 additional car bombs exploded and killed 11 people, wounding another 38 in a neighboring town, in southeast of the Iraqi capital. 2 more bombs killed 5 people and wounded 14 in a crowded market. Think about a religion that a imam, a cleric, can tell a young boy or a young girl that your God has asked you to strap explosives onto your body, to kill yourself walking into a market filled with women and children, and to blow yourself up, and that if you blow yourself up in a market filled with your neighbors and fellow Muslims, that your God is going to reward you. And your reward for doing this is the very thing that your God tells you you cannot have in this life, which is the conquest of an unlimited number of virgins. And you can't drink wine in this life, but your reward is rivers that flow with wine. So I want you, suicide bomber, good Muslim, to strap this bomb onto your body, walk into that marketplace, and detonate yourself, killing your neighbors. And that's going to make your God very happy. Imagine a religion that corrupts people to the point that the imam would say it and that the child would believe it. And yet suicide bombing is the signature move of Islam. This is what America unleashed in Iraq by ignorantly invading that country and not knowing what we were going to leave in our wake. And of course, what we left in our wake is we took a secular dictatorship, bad as it was, and we replaced it with a government that is controlled by Iran. And as a result, Iran has been able to complete its nuclear ambitions, or has nearly completed its nuclear ambitions, and is now the dominant power in the region. And so we as a nation made a bad situation worse, and we killed, or led to the killing, of 800,000 people as a result of our invasion. This is Shattering Myths. I am Yada, 877-300-7645. Good morning and welcome back to the final segment of the news hour of Shattering Myths. This is not our final part of the program. We have an entire hour to go. I received an email during this last break that was related to our previous topic, which was cutting the U.S. military budget. Appreciably, if you don't think that cutting $180 million out for bands, for clarinets and tubas is sufficient, or another $70 million for military flyovers of sporting events, then this individual said, you know, in the interest of playing a devil's advocate on the topic and form an argument, I have heard that cutting the military defense spending of the lone superpower throughout history would be bad because it is the job of the world's leading superpower to control the trade routes. If we cut our defense spending, we will lose control of them and the world economy will either collapse or a country like China will take over the trade routes. Let me comment on that. First of all, if the purpose of the U.S. military were to protect America, was to keep America free from invasion, where would we place our troops? Would it not be on our borders? But where is the one place by law that America's military cannot be deployed? Along our borders. Now, if the goal is to protect trade routes, the primary commodity that is being traded today is oil. Why not have the OPECers, who are the individuals benefiting to the tune of trillions of dollars on the sale of oil, why not have them pay to enforce the trade routes? Why should America, who is a purchaser of oil, have to pay to protect the sellers of oil? The second, by the way, commodity that is forms a huge percentage of international trade, America happens to be the leader in. It's equipment that blows things up and kills people. We are the largest seller of military hardware. The second part of this, what would happen if we were not to protect the trade routes? Would the world economy collapse? If America was unable to trade to the degree that we trade now, we would be far better off, not worse off. That is because we have a huge deficit of trade. If Americans had an incentive to make goods again, to open factories, to meet the consumer demands of Americans as a result of not being able to buy those goods more cheaply because of the cost of shipping them into America. If Americans could buy goods made in America more cheaply now than they could be imported into America at higher shipping costs, that would be a very good thing for America.
Aren't we all that has? We're one of the only countries that has every natural resource within our reach.
We do. That voice there is my beloved producer. That is Scott. I'm encouraging and hoping that Scott plays a very active part of the program in addition to producing it. Yes, America has the resources. We could return back to a condition where we make things, where we become once again dependent on Americans and not dependent on the Saudi Arabians who want to kill us, and not on the Chinese, which we're sending our military out to thwart. So we have the resources. We just no longer have the will. We no longer have a government who is willing to pass legislation that makes it beneficial for people to invest their time and money. We continue to burden those who are productive to the point that no one wants to invest in building businesses anymore. So the answer to that question is we ought not be responsible for protecting the sellers of commodities when we are a purchaser of commodities. And if trade routes were to falter, the United States would have to become self-sufficient again, and that would be a very good thing. Well, we've reached the end of our first hour of Shattering Myths this morning. The one thing that I hope that I've conveyed to you is enough just information for you to think about why it isn't in our interest to continue to slather $650 billion a year on our military, another $100 billion on our spying capability, that if America were to withdraw from that kind of spending, we would burden our children less, we would become more free, we'd become a more prosperous nation, and it is in our interest to do so. This is Shattering Myths. Look forward to seeing you again after the break.